This is the Mighty Warriors Podcast, a podcast dedicated to inspire and encourage you to experience a deeper intimacy with God and to be transformed by His Word in your everyday life. We welcome you to episode 31. I'm Colette Correa, your host, and today we will witness a long-awaited reconciliation that is inevitable as Jacob returns to the land of Canaan. Hello, mighty warriors. This is a new day, a new week for us to be together again. Welcome. Our main theme today is going to be reconciliation. It might sound silly for me to ask, but I will ask you anyways. Have you ever had to reconcile before? I believe that many of us, if not all of us, would probably say yes. Some of us might even say, I'm waiting to be reconciled with someone I've been estranged from for quite some time. Today, we will see what we can learn from Jacob and his brother Esau and see if reconciliation can be possible after two decades of estrangement. Jacob has been away from the land of Canaan for 20 years. Padan Aram was a place for a new start for him, a place where he built a family, but also a place where he experienced hardship. First, there was deceit from his uncle Laban when he tricked him into marrying his older daughter, Leah, although they had agreed for him to work 7 years to marry his youngest daughter, Rachel. He was granted Rachel for an additional 7 years of labor. Meanwhile, among his two wives, jealousy to get Jacob's affection started to rise, and competition on who would be able to grant him sons brought a lot of rivalry between the two sisters, who eventually even had their servants become wives to Jacob so they could bear children for him and build a family through their servants. After several years of labor, not only to pay for his wife's dowries, he stayed to satisfy his uncle Laban, who was also now his father-in-law. Laban convinced him that he would grant him whatever wage he asked, and they agreed on a deal that involved taking care of his flocks. In the end, as Jacob reached 20 years of labor, he heard God's voice to return to his ancestral homeland of Canaan. Without notifying his uncle Laban, he packed up his entire family and headed for Canaan. After a three-day journey, Laban caught up with him, expressed his disappointment that he left without saying goodbye, and Jacob vented all the frustration and hardship he had endured for 20 years. In the end, they made a covenant in which they would not harm each other and that Jacob would be faithful to his daughters, and then they parted ways. So today, our foundational passage of scripture will come from Genesis chapters 32 and 33. It is too long for us to read both chapters as it would take a good portion of this podcast. But I encourage you to read it on your own. And meanwhile, what I will do is give you highlights of these chapters and then share some of the lessons that we can learn from those chapters. When we look at these chapters, we can see that it can be divided into three parts. First, Jacob preparing to meet his brother. Second, Jacob having an encounter with God. And third, an encounter between Jacob and Esau. Friends, there comes a time in our lives when we have to face our giants. Some of those giants are secrets or people we might have run away from, But in order for us to move forward, we have to face what hindered us or hinders us from growing or from experiencing peace. And this is what Jacob had to go through. So here we have Jacob, and the angels of God are with him, as indicated in Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. And in verses 3 and 5 it says, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes." Esau lived in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom, a land that was inevitable for Jacob to cross if he wanted to go to the land of Canaan. Those messengers return with some news that distresses Jacob greatly. The messengers return informing him that Esau himself is coming with 400 men. Last time Jacob had seen Esau, it was when he had deceitfully tricked his father into believing that he was Esau so he could steal the blessing that was intended to the firstborn Esau. Consequently, Jacob ran away because his brother wanted to kill him. But now, Jacob is probably imagining how angry his brother might still be, and how that anger have been brewing all these years, and how his opportunity to take revenge is at hand. 400 men coming with Esau sounded quite an impressive number, and Jacob got gripped with fear. Quickly, he devised a plan to split the people and the flock so that in the event that they were to be attacked, some would escape. And then Jacob prayed the following prayer, which we can read in Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 12. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and to your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Then Jacob decided to lavish his brother with gifts. His generous gifts of livestock was actually intended to appease him of any anger he might have. Based on his instructions, the flocks would have to be spaced out so Esau would receive several gifts. And so his messengers did exactly as instructed. Meanwhile, Jacob separated everyone as well as his belongings into two camps and remained behind. It is during that night that something quite extraordinary happened. That was a very important transition before he would enter into his divine calling. While Jacob remained behind, he wrestled with a man all night long until daybreak. It is when the man sees that he can no longer overpower him that he touches Jacob's hip socket and then requests to be released. Jacob insists on being blessed before letting him go, and the man asks him, "What is your name?" And he replies, "Jacob." This man, however, tells him in verse 28 of chapter 32 Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. In turn, Jacob asks for his name, but he responds, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blesses him. Then Jacob is awestruck that his struggle has been with God. Here is what verse 30 of that same chapter says. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Peniel actually means face of God. In the Old Covenant scriptures, there is a passage in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, that recognizes that Jacob had struggled with God. And here is what it says. "In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name." Then, after this experience, from one moment to another, there was Esau and his 400 men. Jacob had divided his family by putting his female servants and their children in front, then Leah and her children, and then Rachel and Joseph in the rear. But Jacob approached his brother by bowing down. But his brother ran to him and embraced him and kissed him, and they both wept. Then Esau noticed the women and the children, and Jacob introduced them. He even inquired about all those flocks and herds that were sent and insisted that it wasn't necessary because he had plenty, but Jacob insisted that he should accept them as a gift from him. Friends, maybe like Jacob, you have or are currently experiencing a strained relationship. You've moved miles away to find a place of refuge as you fear retaliation, or maybe you're the one who's been deeply hurt, and so to protect yourself from further abuse, further hurt, you've left for a place where no one can harm you again. Here are a few things I would like to share. If you've been hurt, it is good and wise for you to find a place of refuge, a place where you can heal, and I want to express that I'm very sorry for the pain you're experiencing. I'm saying this with a genuine heart because I have been hurt before, and I have found myself having to run away to a place where I could find a refuge and find a safe place to heal. It might sound cliche for me to say this, but in this fallen world, unfortunately, we are going to experience pain. Sometimes pain comes from strangers, but more often from people we love and trust. And when it comes from the latter, it hurts the most. Some believe it is also cliché to say that time heals, but I want to say that it does in some cases. In other cases, I have experienced complete healing when the offender and I were sitting right in front of each other and talked things over, a time in which I was able to express how I had been offended and hurt, and this allowed an opportunity for the offender to even express empathy, regret, sorrow, and ask for forgiveness. But it's not always the case. Not a lot of people are open to sit and discuss matters of the heart. So how did Jacob approach this reconciliation process? First, Jacob was humble. Jacob did not decide to cross his brother's territory without announcing himself. He sent messengers ahead. In his message, We even heard the tone of his humility because he refers to himself as servant and calls his brother Lord as a sign of respect. Here's what we read in Genesis chapter 32, verses 3 through 5. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant, Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my lord that I may find favor in your eyes." God is very pleased when we are humble. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, we are also encouraged there to be humble. And it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And finally, another passage I would like to share comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, which says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." How did Jacob approach this reconciliation process? Second, Jacob resorted to pray when he was worried and distressed. When he heard that his brother was coming with 400 men, his imagination must have ran rampant. He devised a plan, as we read earlier, to divide his family in hope that if some would be lost, some would escape. But he then surrendered to pray. He reminded God what he had called him to do and how he felt inadequate to the task. But he confessed his fear of being attacked and losing his family. But then he reaffirmed to God that God had promised to prosper him and to make his descendant like the sand of the seashore, which cannot be counted. And so, as Jacob was praying and expressing his distress and worry, he also reminded God of his promise, as if he was holding on to those words and telling God, "God, I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. I know I've been selected for this, but what I remember is what you've told me. So help me, save me, deliver me." This is extraordinary and truly an example for us to follow when we are in difficult circumstances, facing fear, anxiety, and frustration. We can only imagine how relieved Jacob was when his brother ran to embrace him and kiss him, rather than attack him and harm him and his family. In the end, his worrying and imaginings of the worst-case scenario had been in vain. What had been in store for him was peace and reconciliation. This is why we are encouraged in the Word to not be worried about anything, as we read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we should present our requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Worry does not accomplish anything positive. It simply steals our time and peace. But Jacob was wise to resort to prayer and to lift up his concerns to God. How did Jacob approach this reconciliation process? Third, Jacob tenaciously stood his ground and prevailed. Jacob's name is changed from Jacob, which means heel of the foot, as he grabbed his brother's heel as he was coming out of the womb. But Jacob also implies supplanting or deceiver. This wrestling match, which lasted all night, showed what Jacob was made out of. It does mention that Jacob wrestled with this mysterious man, but it becomes evident as we read further that Jacob wrestled with God and that God even refuses to give him his name. Yet he had the authority to change his name from that of a supplanter, a deceiver, to Israel, which means one who strives with God, one who struggles with God. But what is important for us to take note of is that God blessed Jacob, as we can read in verse 29 of Genesis chapter 32. So I'm not encouraging you to be headstrong against God and try to get things done your way. No, that's not what I'm encouraging you to do. What I'm encouraging you to do is to persevere through, like Jacob, to be tenacious in your faith and through prayer. And this is what we can learn from Jacob's tenacity as he was struggling with God. And in the end, he was blessed. How did Esau approach this reconciliation process? I believe Esau surprised all of us. He surprised me because he too approached this reconciliation process in a spirit of humility, and he graciously received his brother. Based on this account, we do not have any record of Esau ever bringing up what happened in the past. Esau came in a spirit of peace and reconciliation. This reunion gives us great encouragement that with time, estranged relationships can heal. What is God's heart concerning reconciliation? God's heart is that we would be reconciled with one another because He Himself provided a way for us to be reconciled back to Him, even when we did not deserve it. As mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, we have been reconciled through Christ and given the ministry of reconciliation. Another passage that is very encouraging for us to keep our eyes focused on is Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, which says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It is most definitely very difficult to do when we hurt, when we are broken, when we feel ashamed and embarrassed by a situation that might have happened. It is very difficult to have that spirit of patience and self-control, but only God can help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to have such a spirit of self-control when everything within us is telling us to harm the person or the people who have harmed us. But the Word of God tells us to be humble and to not harbor the spirit of revenge in our hearts because he will bring about justice. In this case, once again, Esau came in a spirit of love, peace, and humility, and it brought about great reconciliation with his brother Jacob. What about you? Is there anybody that you need to be reconciled with? Anybody that you need to forgive? Get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you these people that you might have even forgotten, that you have tried to forget for many years. It might be time for you to reach out to them and to extend love, peace, and reconciliation. Peaceful Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and what we were able to learn about reconciliation today. You, Father, have shown us the greatest example of love and reconciliation. Although we were separated from you, a holy, perfect God, because of our sins, you made a way for us to be reconciled back to you through Messiah Jesus. Thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you, Father, except through him. Many of us need to have our hearts softened from bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, many emotions that have hardened our hearts, which is making it very difficult for us to even face our offenders. But we pray, Father, that you would soften our hearts. Thank you for your healing touch, for your protection, and your help during those times when many are picking up the broken pieces of their hearts, which were shattered through deceit, betrayal, physical, emotional, or even spiritual harm. For those who are ready for reconciliation, I pray you prepare all the parties involved and that they would all come in a spirit of humility, love, and peacemaking. This I ask and pray in faith, in the mighty name of Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Mighty warriors, I hope this episode was a great encouragement to you. Either you are in the midst of a reconciliation or do not need a reconciliation at all. The Word of God is useful and beneficial to us in times of need. And even when we do not need to apply those, we can provide those encouragement to those surrounding us who might be going through the process of peacemaking and reconciliation with others. May God bless you. I look forward to talking to you again next week. So take good care. Goodbye now.